910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Hundreds of thousands brave the cold, rainy New York City weather today to see the 98th annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yeah, baby, I've been here since 3 a.m. We love Thanksgiving. Woo!
President Biden, First Lady Jill Biden delivering Thanksgiving meals to firefighters on Nantucket today and spoke about three Americans released in China during a prisoner exchange.
I'm really happy they're home. I got to talk to them all when they landed in Alaska. They're reunited with their families, and it's very happy people did it.
Ukraine facing massive air raids today. Nearly a million people losing power. President Zelensky calling for more air defense systems as winter intensifies. Australia passing a social media ban for children under 16. Social media companies could be fined up to $50 million for failing to take reasonable steps to keep kids off. No penalties for young people or parents who flout the rules. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Melissa Kay. Travelers are expected to fill Wisconsin roads and airports in record numbers this Thanksgiving holiday, according to AAA Wisconsin officials. Nearly 1.6 million Wisconsinites will leave home this holiday week, an all-time high, as numbers continue to rebound after the COVID-19 pandemic. Nationally, AAA officials expect more than 8 million people to travel, the most since 2019. If turkey makes you tired, there's action on TV. Here's Civic Media's Terry Barr.
A tradition continues with an expanded football schedule this holiday weekend, including games on Black Friday. Football and Thanksgiving have been served up together for more than 140 years, the first featuring college teams, Yale and Princeton. The NFL took over the holiday games in 1920. By the 1930s, Detroit became the regular host to these yearly games. This year, Green Bay hosts the Miami Dolphins at Lambeau Field on Thanksgiving night. So far, the Packers' record during these holiday matchups, 15 wins, 20 losses, and 2 ties. I'm Terry Barr.
Millions of Americans will spend Thanksgiving with relatives for the first time since the election who may be on the other side of the political divide. Experts have some advice. Emma Nadler is a therapist, speaker, and author of the book, The Unlikely Village of Eden. She suggests that people consider what their overall goal is for the gathering and the relationships and respond accordingly.
When you feel yourself getting angry, frustrated, take a few seconds to consider, how do I honor my purpose here?
The group Braver Angels promotes civil political discussions. Find out where the other person is coming from. Try to not put them on the defensive and look for common ground. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
The Packers tonight in prime time. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Green Bay Packers and Miami Dolphins at Lambeau Field. The Dolphins are tough against the run, led by linebackers coach Joe Barry, the former defensive coordinator for the Packers, and Anthony Weaver, who played for the Ravens and now runs Miami's defense, Matt LaFleur.
Their defense is outstanding. I think they do a great job in multiple areas, whether it's defending the pass. It's really tough to get explosive plays on them. So I think Anthony Weaver and his staff, Joe B, obviously, has been a big help, I'm sure, to him, and good scheme. So it's going to be quite the challenge.
NBA, the Bucks are back home Saturday night against the Wizards. Milwaukee now 9-9 after that horrible 1-6 start.
We all know that collectively we have to step up as a unit. Individually, you got to step up, and it's just time to be ready. So we know what the job is. It's still the same assignment. We're all pros here. We know what to do.
That's Bucks center Brooke Lopez with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy today, breezy and chilly, with high temperatures only climbing to the mid-20s and spotty snow showers. Those will continue through about midnight, turning to flurries after that. And winds stay blustery tomorrow, dragging our highs to the teens, making it feel more like near zero. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 21.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, we'll revisit some of our favorite recent interviews, including children's author Laura Bird and meeting new state legislator Christian Phelps.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Aaron Zommers on the board. It is Thursday, the 28th of November, 2024. Happy Thanksgiving, and it is a great day to be an American. Great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along with us on this special Thanksgiving Day broadcast. Hopefully, here at noon, well, if you're eating at noon or shortly thereafter, hopefully the turkey is well up in the oven. It's ready to go. You got up early enough or you had it thawed out, whichever the case may be, and you're set to go. The side dishes are about ready to go on the table. And Packer football a little bit later on this afternoon here across the Civic Media Radio Network. The Packers taking on Green Bay. Or the Packers. Obviously, I've already had my turkey, and I'm suffering from sleep or whatever the hell that is. Anyway, I hope that the Packers taking on Miami this afternoon. It should be a great game. You can hear it across many of our Civic Media radio stations. Remember, we don't stream the Packers because of the NFL. They say, no, you can't do that. But game time around 7:20 tonight. It'll be the pregame show a little after 5 o'clock, 5:20, 5:30 thereabouts across Civic Media. So the Packers taking on the Dolphins at Green Bay. So it should be a great game. Sit back, relax, and enjoy that. We're going to keep you company here a little bit this afternoon as we go through a nice Thanksgiving afternoon. Mr. Zommers, happy Thanksgiving to you. How are you doing?
Happy Thanksgiving. Doing well. When I'm saying this, I guess I'm back home and yes, with the family.
You are. In full disclosure, we're taping this show a little bit early, so staff could be with their loved ones and family for Thanksgiving. So, yes, we are not live. In full disclosure, we are not live today with you, but we're going to be bringing you a little bit of new content, talking about Thanksgiving and side dishes this half hour, and then a little bit of, we call it the best of, a few, a compilation of things. I think we have Kira Sabin on today, and all kinds of hitherto unknown facts. So should be a good time. We hopefully you will stay with us and keep you company. Also, a shout out to all those people that, for whatever reason, may be spending the holiday alone. Hey, you know what? You're with us, so you're not alone. People sometimes travel or sometimes because of illness. I've been there having to stay alone for a holiday or whatever, and life happens. So we're happy that you've tuned into us on a Thanksgiving. Mr. Zommers, any Thanksgiving traditions back in Manitowoc?
Well, a lot of the time we do ham instead of turkey.
Really?
Just because a lot of people in my family have very sensitive diets, I'll say, and for whatever reason, turkey can bug them and ham doesn't.
Really? All right. Very good.
So aside from that, I mean,
So it's Easter every holiday at the Zommers household.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. Very good. Very good.
How about yourself?
We bought the turkey early. Didn't know what things were going to be like post-election. So we had to make sure the turkey was in the freezer. Got the old butterball ready to go. And in the oven, and we'll be sitting down this afternoon. My cousin Sue is going to be driving him for Iowa, so that'll be great. I think Heather, my sister, her family are going to be in town. So it should be a great time at Mom's, and shout out to Dad and Mary up in beautiful Shawano today. So, yeah, it'll be nice Thanksgiving just to chill a little bit with the family, watch a little football. And I've said this before on the show, Thanksgiving has become one of my favorite holidays, largely because I feel like there's less pressure. You know, you don't have a bunch of Thanksgiving Day events around things. It's just kind of the day, and you hang out with friends or family. And even if we're alone on Thanksgiving, we can still be thankful. And whether you're a person of faith or whether you're not, I think it's always, you know, I've said this 100 times on the show. One of my former teachers, Andy Spies, is fond of saying, math as in life, pause and reflect, pause and reflect. So today, if nothing else, just take time to pause and reflect and be thankful. Be thankful. By the way, if you watch us on the stream, there's nothing wrong with your equipment. Anyway, there's no video today because we can't afford it. We've got back here. We've got back. No, I'm just a little Thanksgiving Day humor. Gobble, gobble. By the way, one of my favorite Thanksgiving Day movies was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Such a good movie.
It's a great movie. If you have younger kids, there's a particular scene you probably don't want to fast forward through that.
Perhaps.
But it's a great scene. Hopefully watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles today. Also from one of my favorite series, Will and Grace from NBC. Great episode of Will and Grace called Queens for a Day, where Will and his boyfriend make Thanksgiving for his boyfriend's family. And Will invites Grace and Jack and everybody in. It's hilarity. Hilarity ensues. So whatever your Thanksgiving Day traditions are, enjoy them today with friends, family, or right here with us here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are glad that you tuned in. So how about we go to the Old Farmer's Almanac, for Thanksgiving and catch up with that. So why is Thanksgiving on the fourth? It's late this year, fourth Thursday in November. By the way, this is the latest that this holiday could be. What are the real reasons both George Washington and Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a day of Thanksgiving? No, it's not just about a pilgrim feast. And find facts, not fiction, about our most important feast from the Old Farmer's Almanac. So the United States celebrates Thanksgiving as a national holiday on the fourth Thursday of November. Of course, we're observing it today on the 28th. Thanksgiving has been held on the fourth Thursday in November since 1941. Which means that the actual date of the holiday shifts each year. The earliest Thanksgiving could occur is November 22nd, and the latest, November 28th. President Roosevelt changed Thanksgiving from the fourth Thursday to the third Thursday in November in 1938. However, this was not a very popular move, as it turns out. Yeah, you see, any time a politician gets involved, not going to be very popular. In Canada, by the way, they just eat maple syrup. They drink maple syrup turkeys. No, that's a joke. In Canada, Thanksgiving is celebrated on the second Monday in October. So how about that?
Might be better if we did that, you know, spread
maybe,
it out a little.
Right? Yeah, spread the love a little bit. Yeah, exactly. So here's a little bit of history for you. Native Americans in North America celebrated harvest festivals centuries before any Thanksgiving federal holiday. It was formally established in the United States. Colonial services for these festival dates, it dates back to the late 16th century. The autumnal feast celebrated the harvest of crops after a season of bountiful growth. In the 1600s, settlers in Massachusetts and Virginia had feasts to thank for surviving fertile fields and their faith. The Pilgrims in Plymouth, Massachusetts, had their Thanksgiving feast in 1621 with the Wampanoag Native Americans. Probably that's the most iconic vision of Thanksgiving that we have these, you know, from growing up or whatever. I'm not sure they do this anymore, but back when I was in school, like kindergartner teachers, we'd make pilgrim hats and then Native American headdresses. And you'd sit down and you'd have your little feast or whatever.
Yeah, we did that when I was little too, but I'm almost 100% certain they don't do that,
anymore
because, you know, wearing headdresses is no longer considered appropriate for random white kids to do. And I understand that. It makes a lot of sense.
I get that. The first, probably the 3-day feast is considered the first Thanksgiving, that one back in 1621, the celebration of the colonies. However, there were other recorded ceremonies of thanks on these lands. In 1565, Spanish explorers and the local Timpequa people of St. Augustine, Florida, celebrated a mass of Thanksgiving. In 1619, British settlers proclaimed a day of Thanksgiving when they reached a site known as Berkeley Hundred on the banks of the Virginia's James River. Of course, the idea of quote-unquote Thanksgiving for the harvest is old as time. All the way back to Egyptians, Greeks, Romans had harvest festivals. Native American cultures, too, long before any white person arrived, had a rich tradition of giving thanks at harvest time feasts, which began long before those Europeans appeared on their soil. And well after the Pilgrims, for more than two centuries, individual colonies and states celebrated a day of Thanksgiving. So how did the Pilgrims come to settle here? We know a lot of this story, right? But I did not know this. When certain men and women, you know where the original Pilgrims came from in Europe? Like the town?
Spain? No, the town? Oh, I used to know.
England, it was the men and women of Scrooby, not Scooby-Doo, but Scrooby. Scrooby, England, were prosecuted for separating themselves from the Church of England. They, as Pilgrims, then fled to Holland upon the execution of the separatist leader, James of Barneveld. There was, May 13th of 1619, they realized that Holland was no freer than England and prepared to go to America. On January 20th, 1620, after putting their plans into effect, they asked for parting words from their beloved pastor, John Robinson. And the next day, they boarded the ship Speedwell. It was anchored there and through had to go a couple of different ships to Southampton, England, and lots of misadventures and farewells to speed up the story. And then a brave 102 souls departed on the Mayflower on September 6th, 1620. The Mayflower arrived, what is now Provincetown, Massachusetts, at the tip of a curved peninsula later named Cape Cod on November 21st, and on that day drew up one of the most significant documents of American history, the Mayflower Compact. The compact was a constitution formed by the people, the beginning of popular government. So it dated all the way back then. You had the Plymouth Rock on December 22nd. They held a town meeting there, the Pilgrims, at Plymouth Rock, very historical area there. And then the first proclamation in 1789 by President George Washington issued a proclamation saying that that year was a day of public thanksgiving. And it's not Thanksgiving. It was public, P-U-B-L-I-C-K, Thanksgiving. No G at the end. So it wasn't public thanksgiving. It was public thanksgiving.
Like I-N at the end?
So? Yeah, just huh. I-N. That, according to, and who's going to argue with George Washington, you understand? Father of the country.
Nobody.
Nobody's going to argue with George Washington. That was the very first proclamation. So however you're celebrating this day, hopefully with family and friends or right here with us, do what the original settlers did, what the Native Americans did. Doesn't matter where we come from. We can all be thankful for the year's bountiful harvest, whether that's food or whether that's just having a job or having a warm bed or whatever. And remember those, of course, less fortunate as well. We're going to come back, talk side dishes. What's your favorite side dish? No phone calls. We're pre-recorded, but we'll let you know what is on our Thanksgiving tables and give you some tips for yours. It's the Todd Allball Show, a special Thanksgiving Day edition, gobble gobble, here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Finding the special health care resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free. 877-947-2929. sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Max Inc. Radio.
We're replaying the amazing live performance from an 11-year-old, plus new music from around the state. I'm Terry Barr.
Saturday and Sunday night starting at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I've got plenty to be thankful for. I haven't got a great big yacht to sail from shore to shore.
Welcome back to the Connell Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of you on this November 28th, now 21 past the hour of 12 noon on Thanksgiving. Who sang that song, Mr. Summers? Nicely done.
That's a little Bing Crosby from the soundtrack of the motion picture Holiday Inn.
Oh, great classic movie indeed, Mr. Bing Crosby there. Hopefully the fires are burning wherever you're at and hanging out. By the way, did you see the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade this morning?
Probably.
Oh my gosh! I can't go into it on the air, but I mean, Underdog was getting pretty frisky there in front of Macy's. It was quite the spectacle.
Shield your eyes.
Hopefully you all saw it as the balloons passed by. Yes, we're pre-recorded today. Don't worry. Just hang on to yourselves or sit down. Have a glass of wine. That's what on Thanksgiving, nothing is better than a nice glass of wine. And what goes well, I mean, here, and this is controversial. I don't mean to bring up controversy at Thanksgiving tables, but and Kira Sabin is going to be coming on, as we said before, to talk about in seriousness how we can deal with family members we might disagree with. But I thought it'd be fun to look at side dishes. And I'm very traditional. I shouldn't say I like some sort of a cranberry component. I do a thing where I put cranberries in just like a skillet and slowly cook them down, a little bit of water, a lot of sugar, a little orange, freshly squeezed orange, some orange zest, a little bit of nutmeg, a little bit of cinnamon, and then just let that simmer, make like a cranberry compote. I like that. Some people like a cranberry salad. I'm a mashed potato guy and gravy for Thanksgiving. I like a good, now is it dressing or stuffing? And at our house, my maternal grandmother's recipe for dressing, because you don't put it in the bird. You don't cook it in the bird. You cook it in a side pan. Yeah. So it's a dressing and poor Mashi mom works like 2 or 3 days before Thanksgiving. You got to dry the bread out and there's a little hamburger in it and there's eggs and all. It's delicious. Sage, rosemary, thyme. I don't know. And it's delicious. So I'm a big dressing or stuffing person. What else do I like on? I mean, those are the main, a nice roll to go with my turkey. I don't know. Any favorite side dishes you have?
Definitely the mashed potatoes and gravy. Mm-hmm. I for as long as I can remember, every year when we're passing around bowls, I just grab the potato bowl and put it where my plate was and hand my plate to the next person.
Pretty good.
Yeah, so that we do the same thing with, you know, simmering the cranberries and orange zest and all that. Mm-hmm. That's delicious. Rolls, definitely.
Yeah.
I also always make a little sandwich, you know. Take your roll, put some mashed potatoes on it, put some corn in there.
Corn?
Turkey or ham or whatever, and then eat it. And Corn and mashed potatoes mixed together are really good.
Ugh, not
in my personal, opinion.
See, I would veto that. But you know, each to each their own. Here's something else I would veto, according to the Food Network. And again, who can argue, right? Here's a recipe for Brussels sprouts with bacon. I love the bacon. The Brussels sprouts, no. But here's one. We might actually try this one. Crispiest potatoes ever. And so you have these little creamer potatoes, and you boil them in water with baking soda before being smashed. And the alkaline in the baking soda helps the skins to crisp up quickly. And then you smash it, and you put it in the oven. And that looks a little rosemary, a little garlic in there. That looks really good.
Yes, it does.
Controversial. People either really love it or hate it. The ever-popular green bean casserole.
I'm a fan.
Are you a fan? I like a little. I don't like a lot with the kind of the dried onions on top and the cream mushroom soup. All right. Roasted sweet potatoes with honey and cinnamon.
Or with marshmallows. I see marshmallows on them.
Marshmallows on sweet potatoes a lot.
I'm
squash
here.
Squash as well.
I'm here for the squash. I'm here for the roasted sweet potatoes. Yeah. I don't need the marshmallows on it.
All right. Parker House rolls. We talked about that. A good roll. And now here, I feel like this is more Southern, but maybe I'm wrong. Mac and cheese. Have you had that?
I haven't done that on Thanksgiving, I don't think, but I would. I love
for a lot of people. I think that's more of a Southern thing, but Southern Thanksgiving's not like your Kraft macaroni and cheese, but like something you put it in a casserole dish and you bake it, and it's just really, really rich, and there's actual cream and butter and cheese and, you know, a really heavy, hearty macaroni and cheese. That's also one. Talked about the green bean casserole. Here's one where you actually like do a melt. Like a marshmallow melt on top of sweet potatoes. They almost look like eggs.
Yep, so. That's what my mom...
Really?
And not every year. Yeah. Sometimes we make that, and like I said, I'd rather just have it without the marshmallows.
Right. Again, I think this is more Southern, but maybe I'm wrong. Collard greens. I've never...
That sounds Southern.
I don't know that I've ever had collard
greens. I haven't either.
Yeah. Elizabeth Hasselback sweet potatoes. Why are they called Hasselback sweet potatoes?
I don't know. I don't know where that name comes from.
Yeah, they're all diced. They look like sausages, actually, when you dice them all up like that.
I have a question on one for
yes,
you.
Yes, please.
Jello.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Jello at Thanksgiving. Really?
My grandma always made it. She'd be like, well, I don't want to go through all the effort of making it if nobody wants it. And then nobody wanted it. And she made it anyway because she wanted it.
She wanted it. I mean, I like but if I'm going to have Jello on Thanksgiving, I need like a sauce dish because I'm not putting it on my plate with the potatoes. It's just going to melt and be gross.
Right.
So I like a salad dish for my Jell-O at Thanksgiving. Mom does like a cranberry salad that has Jell-O and cranberries and orange and nuts and everything. I like a little of that, but I prefer just like a plain cherry or raspberry or even a cranberry Jell-O, maybe an orange Jell-O even.
Oh, my grandma did it as like the green and white, like multi-tiered bundt cake shaped Jell-O.
Oh, yeah. Those are very nice as well. What else we got? Well, squash. I think that's a butternut squash.
You got to do it.
Yeah, that's a big one as well. We talked about. Here's balsamic roasted butter Brussels sprouts. Maybe if I put enough balsamic vinegar, it wouldn't taste like Brussels sprouts.
Hey, when they're prepared well, they're good.
Yeah,
it's just
here's what
hard to do.
I've not heard oyster stuffing. Maybe that's an East Coast thing.
Right.
I'm not sure about that. You got your scalloped potato au gratin, your creamed corn, and of course, your perfect cranberry sauce that we talked about. So all those things, hopefully whatever you're doing today, you enjoy a little bit of time with family and friends and have a happy Thanksgiving. We're going to have Kira Sabin up next from last year, actually talking about how to get along with families at Thanksgiving or holiday events. I think it's good advice if you're on your way to a family event today or if you're going to have one over the weekend. Make it a safe and happy holiday. Enjoy the Packers tonight on different stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned. Kira is next. A little bit of best of. We'll have a new show for you tomorrow for Black Friday. Until then, Todd Allball, Aaron Zomers, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Stay tuned as Kira Sabin talks to us about families and getting along at the holidays right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
My needs are small, buy them all, 5 and 10 cent store. Oh, I've got plenty to be thankful for.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Melissa Kay. All over the country, there will inevitably be political conversation over the Thanksgiving dinner table. And for lots of families, there are people on both sides of the aisle, making it a tense situation. Therapist Emma Nadler said if the conversation takes a turn, take a long pause, maybe pitch in with the dishes, or take a walk, rather than let things get too contentious.
Anyone can say and do things they regret, and it takes at least 20 minutes of non-activating conversation to get back to your baseline regulation.
Some families may choose to discuss the tone of the holiday ahead of time, trying to set some ground rules. If you enjoy mashed potatoes and green bean casserole this holiday, you're not alone, but a new survey includes some other food surprises. Here's Civic Media's Terry Barr.
A new survey is revealing some interesting things about the food you may be sharing this Thanksgiving holiday weekend. It includes the calories you'll consume. The Harris poll shows most of you say there's almost always turkey, cranberries, and pumpkin pie. But the survey indicates 65% don't even like some of these holiday dishes, yet you'll eat it because it's tradition. One result which may not be surprising: the average number of calories consumed during your holiday dinner. It's around 4,500. That's about twice the daily calories suggested by any health expert. I'm Terry Barr.
The holiday travel season begins this week, and you can expect roads and airports to be crowded for Thanksgiving. In Wisconsin, a record number of people are expected to fly or drive for Thanksgiving. Good news, though, for areas with road construction. Wisconsin DOT said road work will stop at noon on Wednesday and resume on December 2nd. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Well, Glicked Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy today, breezy and chilly, with high temperatures only climbing to the mid-20s and spotty snow showers. Those will continue through about midnight, turning to flurries after that. And winds stay blustery tomorrow, dragging our highs to the teens, making it feel more like near zero. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 21.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
In 1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it. All right.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Just P.S., Dom's producer here. Dom and I have a very special pre-recorded Thanksgiving show for you. We're grateful. Come hear why.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Happy Thanksgiving. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning into the Todd Allbaugh Show. This is Aaron, Todd's producer. And the reason that you're listening to the Indiana Jones theme is because I've done some archaeology. I've gone and unearthed an ancient artifact for you to listen to here. This is an interview from the very first episode of the Todd Allbaugh Show, way back on November 14th, 2022. Here's a quick fun fact for the first episode. Luke Mathers was producing because we had it all planned out. Everything was scheduled. And then, of course, I got sick. So the first 2 days of the show, it was Luke. So thanks, Luke. Back then, the Todd Allbaugh Show was in the morning and it was 3 hours. Boy, how times have changed. One thing that hasn't changed is how great our friend Kira Sabin is. As a life coach and positivity psychologist extraordinaire, the troop leader of love, she's joined us from day one on the show. And here we listen to that conversation about how to set and respect boundaries with our families for topics like politics during holidays. Anyway, thanks for spending some time with us on this Thanksgiving, and I hope that you get something useful out of this. I know I did.
Our next guest is someone who I have known essentially my entire life. We grew up together, well, not together, but at Richland Center back in southwest Wisconsin. She has an older sister named Heather who went to school with me, and Heather and I were swing choir partners in high school. And I have a younger sister named Heather who went to school with Kira. And so we both have sisters who are Heather. And Kira, from a young age, she was dialed in to her beliefs, and she knew what was up, and she and I would have absolute knockdown, drag out debates and conversations in my mother's kitchen when I was still a Republican, and she was like, "What the hell is the matter with you?" And it was terrible. And now, all these years later, she joins me on my very first show after Todd has reformed and seen the light and left the Republican Party. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend, the incomparable positive psychology practitioner, dating and relationship educator, but I call her the Karl Rove of love, Kira Sabin. Right? How are you doing, Kira?
I'm good. I mean, I do like to also call myself the troop leader of love.
Oh, the troop leader of love.
Okay. Yeah, a little nod to the scouts I think I flunked out of somewhere around third or fourth grade.
I was in Boy Scouts for like 4 months at Richland Center. So I was in a short time.
I got my Eagle Scout award. So I love the scouts.
Whoa. Yeah. See, that's the kind of dude I work with, Kira, an Eagle Scout.
Wow.
I know, right? That's super cool.
And to be fair, Todd, this is something that transfers between me, the abnormal producer, and your normal producer, Aaron Zommers. He is also an Eagle Scout.
That's right. So, obviously, I am a weak link here, Kira. I am not. Wow. I was the Boy Scout dropout. So you were in Girl Scouts or Brownies for a while?
I was in Brownies. I was there because we made cool food that my mom didn't make. We made monkey bread.
I thought you made some interesting brownies, perhaps. I don't know.
Right. No, monkey bread. We made caramel apples. That was so cool. Right. So that's basically why I was in it.
That's fantastic.
Food-driven at 8 years old.
That's fine.
Love it.
That's good. Well, you've gone on to you had an eclectic career. I tell people that I have a mutt resume because I've done so many different things. You've done some fantastically amazing things over your career. But since back in 2007, was it, that you really started your current business as the simple way is to put it, as a life coach. But again, a positive psychology practitioner. You deal with people in relationships. You have a successful podcast. You have retreats that you take people on. And the thing I love about you, Kira, is, and there's something that I'm going to try and do this program, because I think that the people who are the most successful, or you can get to people, is when you're genuine and when you're yourself, right? So my goal is to be the same person on the air always that I am off. And since I've known you, now in your professional career, you're exactly the same as you were when we were just sitting at mom's table and debating politics or whatever. You don't change. You bring your authentic self, and I think that's what makes your advice so interesting and impactful, is you just tell it like it is.
That is probably the best compliment you've ever given me. Aww. And that's a compliment that occasionally when I do hear it from people, you know, I don't care about being successful. I just want to be real, and I want to be able to be myself in all aspects of my life and still be able to make money and things like that, be myself. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the ultimate goal for me, is to be able to be the best version of myself.
And I was very fortunate a couple of years back. I was able to go to your wedding with your wonderful and talented husband, Danny. It was a destination wedding in Mexico. And I don't know if I've ever told you this or not, but we had the tickets bought, and Mom kind of helped do it as a family thing. And so we could be together, but also be there for you and Danny's wedding. And it was the same month as the cheese festival, the cheese days in Monroe, Wisconsin, that I go to every year. It's so big, it only happens every other year. With Kurt and Florcy Kohler and my godsons. And my mom said, well, do you think you could go? And I said, oh, yeah, Cheese Days is the next week. And we booked the tickets and we were happy. And then I found out like 3 days later that I was going to have to miss Cheese Days.
Oh, my God.
I was
Wisconsin
devastated.
Dilemma.
I know.
Right
but
there.
I'm like, right there. God bless it. I am going to see Kira's wedding over Cheese Days. So I chose you, Kira. I chose you.
I mean, I'd like to think you also chose like a nice resort on the beach,
it was
but
beautiful.
We can pretend it was me.
It was all you. It was all you. So here's the deal, Kira. We got this show, and yes, we're going to talk about politics, and yes, we're going to call people out that are feeding people BS. But now that the midterm elections are over, you know, we have to focus on how in the world do we get along. And how do we bring our communities together? And I'm not sure if you heard it earlier, but Ron Fruit was on. You know Ron. I mean, agree or disagree, Kira. You could stand down on Court Street in Richland Center and ask 100 people, is Ron Fruit a good guy? 99.9 of them would say he's a great guy. Yes or no?
Yes, absolutely. I want to know who the person is that says no.
Right?
And I who's that person?
And I told Luke over the break, I said, on the other hand, you could stand on Court Street and mention the word Todd Allball. I'd be lucky to get to 50%.
So, I think that's not true at all.
I don't know, maybe. But the point is that there are some people that are just naturally good at getting along with people like Ron. The holidays are coming up. Thanksgiving. I'm very fortunate that the people that I will spend Thanksgiving with are all on the same page, so we don't have this problem. But here's the thing. When I was working for former State Senator Dale Schultz his last term, he and former Majority Leader Tim Cullen, a Democrat, they co-sponsored a bill on gerrymandering and trying to get the laws changed with how we redistrict. The point is they would travel around the state. I would go with them, and I'd stand in the back of the room. And they get to the point of the presentation where they would say, after Act 10, the divisive Scott Walker legislation that dismantled public unions, after mining, after voter ID, and now with gerrymandering, there are golf foursomes that no longer play together because of politics. There are people in churches who no longer sit in the same pew because of politics. There are families that no longer get together because of politics. And it's like, how do we bring people together? So to you, my friend, Kira Sabin, life coach, Carl Rove of Love Extraordinaire, how do we break down barriers? How do we set boundaries, first of all, for not just obnoxious relatives, but maybe people that, well, let's not call them obnoxious, people that we find obnoxious in our own opinions. First of all, what the heck is a boundary?
With the holidays coming up, which is supposed to be fun in theory, right?
In theory, supposed to be
a lot of yummy foods, presents.
The great thing
cheer.
Is, the great thing is, I have a prescription for Vicodin. I always keep in my back pocket.
So. Wow. So not even like low grade stuff there. No. Going straight
well,
to the Vicodin.
I won't get into it for people. I had shingles years and years ago, and I developed myalgia from that. And the old, when I get under stress or whatever, it the only thing it takes the pain away is Vicodin. And so I have a prescription. I won't get into it. But yes, so that sometimes that and a cup of coffee and a bottle of wine is how I get through the holidays.
I bet you do.
That's not healthy. But what's a healthier way when we talk about boundaries?
Well, and when we're talking about boundaries is in exactly with what you were saying. We have these people in our lives. We love them probably at least some of the time, if not right. The majority of the time. But there is something about coming together for these holidays where that uncle, that cousin that kind of annoys you, whatever, or just somebody who has really, really different values than you can make it harder, a lot harder, right? And that's not what the holidays are supposed to be about. So we can learn how to set boundaries and make them feel good for everybody. So what a boundary is, just to get to that point. I wanted to make sure that we sure. kind of understood that. It's just the way that we let people know who we care about, right? This isn't for strangers. It's for people we care about. What's okay and what's not okay. Basically, how to treat us.
So how do you right? start that conversation? Like, do you walk in and say, okay, before we sit down, here's what we're not talking about today. Like, how do you convey that to these people that we know and love?
That can be one way right there. You can even, before the whole entire holiday starts, set a boundary and just say, hi, I want to let everybody know that I'm really excited about seeing everybody and having grandma's pie. I will not be talking about politics that day because I think it makes it a much harder day. And that's not why we're getting together.
That's good.
You know, that's absolutely something that you can do. You know, you can do, as soon as somebody starts talking, you know, and starts, you know, possibly bringing things up that you don't agree with, you know, you can say, I appreciate you sharing your thoughts. However, I'm going to keep my thoughts about politics private today so that I can enjoy the family time. Right. And if, you know, and the thing is that I find that people take our lead. Right. Mm-hmm. So if we start getting grumpy about it, if we start getting a little bit, you know, itchy and salty about it, they're going to come back with that. Right. They're sometimes just trying to bait us to get because they want to express their opinion. If you don't let them express their opinion, it stops right there.
But see, I know? Think what you just said, I know it's simple. But growing up as a Southwest Wisconsin Methodist or a Lutheran, or even if you don't have a political or religious affiliation, I think we in the Midwest and Wisconsin, we're just taught to be polite, right? So, you know, don't interrupt Uncle Joe. Just let him talk. I think I find that my life sometimes hard just to say what you said. Like, you know what? I'm just not going to talk about politics. You just kind of like keep quiet, let them keep ranting. And I think what you're saying, basically, it's like, Todd, grow a pair. Like just speak up, right?
I mean, more importantly, we're all adults, right? Yeah. This isn't, and man, one of the toughest things about growing up in the Midwest and the Midwest nice is the fact that we have told people that they don't get to express their emotions or opinions or tell people no. And that's not realistic for long-term relationships and friendships.
Right.
Right. Like, otherwise you just resent everybody and you don't like anybody in your life. Right. That's not good.
It's kind of like a simple redirect, right?
It absolutely is. And if you can like nip it in the bud right away, you might have a much better holiday versus going back and forth and back and forth, especially as the, you know, Miller Lite or whatever is going down. If you put that boundary up front, or if you kind of stop it right when it starts, you know, not only is that going to feel good for you, you're also role modeling some great skills for kids. Right? Because kids should be able to say to somebody, I don't like that. That doesn't feel nice. Right?
I love the fact that you start out by saying, hey, I'm looking forward to grandma's pie or I'm excited to see you. Give a compliment first and then just set that boundary. I like that a lot. We're going to take a break for a second, Kira, if you'll stay with us, please. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Kira Sabin, life coach and wonderful person, Fabu extraordinaire, about why are boundaries important and how can we navigate tricky conversations around politics. All that and more with the lovely and talented Kira Sabin. You're listening to the Todd Lobel Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is Aaron again. I hope you're enjoying your Thanksgiving, driving safe, staying hydrated, all that good stuff. Up next, we'll listen to the rest of Todd's interview with Kira Sabin, life coach and positivity psychologist, about navigating difficult topics with your family in the holidays. Stick around.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth.
We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. I've got a kid probably heading off to college in about a year and a half, and I'm doing everything I can to help her build her credit score. Now, one of the tips I was very excited to put into practice is adding my daughter as an authorized user on my most perfectly paid off credit card account. The idea here is that credit card companies report the payment histories of everyone with a card in their name, including the authorized users. That way, your kid benefits from your good credit habits and the length of your credit history and gets a boost to their credit score right out of the gate. Now, the rub is that not all card issuers report all this info, so it's essential to check with your card and make sure they report. And remember, this goes both ways. Good credit behavior boosts scores, but any slip-ups like missed payments or late payments, that hurts them. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. In the meantime, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Waba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
And welcome back to a Thanksgiving edition of the Todd Allball Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And now just a little bit more in our rest of our interview with Kira Sabin on Get Along with Family at the Holidays. We're talking, Kira, about boundaries as we continue to have our conversation this morning. Are there ways that we can find unity with each other? Are there ways that we can get along and find, without giving up our beliefs, without giving up those things that we hold inherent, that we believe in and fight for? It's not about conceding those, but how do we coexist with people that we love and care about or we have to work with in a very divisive world? And before the break, Kira was talking about setting boundaries, just kind of, you know, cutting through that Midwest nice and basically saying, you know, I'm looking forward to having grandma's pie, but I'm not going to talk about politics. Just put it out there. I mean, it sounds simple. Sometimes it's hard. Put it out there. Set that boundary early. Kira, what other types of boundaries can people think about and how can they set those?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, boundaries are not only for politics. They're for everything in your life where you feel like people maybe take advantage or say things that they should not have said and it hurts your feelings. Mm-hmm. And maybe they don't mean to, right? But that's why we set boundaries so that we feel good and they feel good. Sure. That's the point. If you just stop them, that's called a wall. That's not the same thing, right? it's about being able to move forward so that everybody feels good.
But I think, can we just stop there for a second? Can you define that? Or that's something really important you just said. What's the difference between setting a boundary and a wall?
What walls stop our relationship. We set a wall when we're like, you have ticked me off so much, I don't even want to see you again. Mm-hmm. But that's not realistic when it comes to our siblings, when it comes to our relatives, when it comes to our parents even. You know, even exes, none of that is realistic. They have to be a part of our life. So if they have to be a part of our life, let's make it as good as possible. Mm-hmm. And boundaries help us do that.
That's awesome. So other areas besides politics?
Oh, absolutely. Other places that I teach, like my clients to set boundaries, how we choose to parent. Maybe the way that you're choosing to parent is completely different than the way that your parents did or your aunt and uncle or your grandparents, and they have a lot of thoughts, right?
Sure.
And it's okay if they have thoughts. They don't have to share them with you, right? They can keep them to themselves.
Yeah.
And we get to also say that, you know, I think it's okay that you chose to parent me different, but this is what I'm choosing, and I'm a grown adult, and I can make those decisions. Mm-hmm. And I'd love you to respect that, right? We don't always have to understand, but we can choose to respect because we care about people.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
We can
I like that. Choose to respect. Because I think a lot of that is respecting another person for the human that they are and the fact that they have an opinion. And I think it's one thing to have a hurtful or inappropriate opinion, if it's a racist, misogynistic, homophobic type of opinion that they're going to espouse. I don't think that's okay. But if they have just a simple opinion that, you know, on politics or how to parent differently, it's okay that that's kind of what makes the world go around, that we think differently, right?
Absolutely. That could be because of location, different values, religion. We just might have different opinions. And as you mentioned, we're all humans. We've all had different experiences. We've all had different upbringings. And so who we are is because of all of those different things. So we're going to have different opinions as other people, and that's okay. What's not okay is when we make the other person wrong.
So let me ask you this, because I'm not sure if you heard earlier, but I gave the example. I used to go with Dale and Senator Cullen's, former state senator Dale Schultz and Tim Cullen, one Republican, one a Democrat. And they talk about, you know, people that don't golf with golf foursomes, don't sit next to each other in church, that don't go to the same coffee clutch anymore because of differing opinions, or maybe because, to your point, Kira, words were exchanged that were hurtful. What is the first step? How do we start to repair those relationships? Not that we want to hang out with that person anymore, but just make it bearable so when we see them in a restaurant, that it's not uncomfortable. How do you take the first step towards bringing people back together in that situation?
What are your similar values, right? Is there differences in how you vote or politics about values? Because that's hard to have a long-term relationship with someone, or a really strong relationship with somebody who sees the world completely differently than you.
Sure.
But if it's just they like to vote for this person because that person's, you know, just more in line with what they believe, you know, vice versa, we have to find our other commonalities, right? There's probably a good chance you like the same TV shows or movies. I can guarantee they probably like the Packers, right? Like, I can guarantee there are always going to be similarities and commonalities. And we have to look at how to find those commonalities. What I think is really upsetting about sometimes media and the news, although I realize we're on media, is just the fact that they like to poke at all of the differences.
Sure.
Right? They like to make sure that everybody sees them. But at the end of the day, this is still people that you grew up with. These are still people that you've known for a long time. And there's probably a ton of things that you can laugh about and remember, as well as enjoy in common now.
Kira, we have about 2 minutes left of the segment. It's gone much faster than I would have liked. But I thank you for coming on. But before we let you go, what, as you just talk to people, as you encounter people in coaching, relationships, I know you focus predominantly on women, but all people, what people listening this morning, what's kind of the overarching thing? Give us one, two at the most things. What's the best thing we could do to make our lives better with the people within them to just forge better relationships?
Let go of the outcome. You can basically say what you're going to say. They may receive it. They may not. Right. Mm-hmm. But the point is that you're setting that boundary because you're taking care of you. Right.
That's
you're
so
taking
good.
Care of what's important to you. So there's a chance that you may say to your parent, hey, you don't need to comment about this. That doesn't feel good. You can have your opinion. I can have mine. But at the end of the day, they're still going to be in your life. And we still get to say to somebody that doesn't feel good as an adult.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Maggie Dawn.
You're listening to a special pre-recorded Thanksgiving Day episode for you from the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Thanksgiving!
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.